hello and welcome to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. My name is Justin McClintock, and today we're going to talk about what it means to be coachable. Typically, before we bring someone on Feel Strong for one-on-one coaching, whether it's in-person, remote, hybrid, whatever the situation is, we look for three things. Three elements that we think represent a successful client. In our experience, people who have had success and many different versions of success all across the board. Performance, health, longevity, pain reduction, new skills, strength, body composition, aesthetics, etc. All of them, when they are successful, share these three things. They are motivated, they are committed, and they are coachable. Now, let's cover the first two, because I want to go deep on coachable. What does it mean to be motivated? Motivated, another way to think of motivated, as in this context, the way I'm describing it, is this a really big priority for you? Is this a big deal? Are you willing to put this above other things on your priority list? If I ask you 1 to 10, how motivated are you to go after this goal and get this accomplished? 1 being, yeah, that'd be pretty cool if it happened, and 10 being, take my house, take my kids, I don't care, this is what I need to have happen. I'm listening for a 7 or 8 or higher. And a 7 makes me question. I'm going to dig a little deeper on that. If you're an 8 or above, great. This is important. Because you will need to make sacrifices. You will need to make changes. You are going to need to put this program, this pursuit of goals, ahead of other things. And it will inevitably be more than just following a workout program. Inevitably, we are going to talk about your sleep, your diet, your stress, your lifestyle, your relationships, your work, your schedule, the way in which you approach things, the way in which you communicate. All of that is likely to come up. So you have to be motivated. Number two, are you committed? And this is, I tend to frame this in a time scale, but it relates to motivation. Almost anyone who comes to me, Justin, for Feel Strong, the goals they have, the problems they're trying to solve, the numbers they want to hit, the things they want to accomplish, are going to take some time. We basically do not work in 30-day fixes. We tend to work in 3-month-plus fixes. Currently, as of time of recording, we're actually requiring a 12-week commitment up front just to get started. And under no circumstances promising that those 12 weeks are going to be the finish line. This is not a, do you want to lose 30 pounds in 12 weeks program? Absolutely not. I want nothing to be done. I do not want to be seen alongside those kind of programs for a number of reasons. But are you committed? If it's a priority, are you motivated? And you're ready to do some consistent work on this, are you committed? Those are really good. And tiny asterisks on the commitment, we will often dig in on communication around commitment. Because saying you're committed is great. If I say, you know this is going to take, you know, at least 90 days to see significant progress, and at that 90-day mark, you're probably going to want to accomplish more. Are you clear about that? And you as the client say, yes, I am. Excellent. That's good. That kind of time scale almost guarantees that some things are going to come up and get in the way. Real life is going to intrude. Something's going to happen with your job. Something's going to happen with your relationship. Something's going to happen with your life. You're going to get sick. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get busy. Life will occur, and you're going to have to find ways to navigate and keep moving you forward and keep making progress, and it will only work if you're committed. Another part of being committed is being really communicative, especially as a remote client. This is vital. Vital, because I'm not in the room with you. So I will typically have a conversation along the lines of communication is one of the most important parts of being a remote client. When you do your program, I'm not there, we're not doing it live. It is asynchronous. Your workout is delivered to you. There's very clear notes. It's exactly what I'm looking for. There's video demonstration videos with every single movement. You do it on your own schedule and then leave me feedback. If you leave me a thumbs up emoji, I assume you did the movement, but I still really don't have any information. If you leave me the reps or weight or volume or speed, depending on the movement, some metrics about what you did. Now I have more information, and that's really good. If you leave me some metrics, some notes about how it felt, and maybe as a bonus, a video of maybe one set, now I have a ton of information, and all of that information and all of that communication is going to affect the rest of your program. Literally being committed and being communicative will make your program better. The green check mark thumbs up people, their programs adapt to them less efficiently and less well than the here's what I did, here's how it felt, here's what it looked like people. That's a fact. So those are the first two parts that we look for in a potential successful client. Are you motivated? Are you committed? Now the third part is what we came here to talk about today. Are you coachable? What does it mean to be coachable? I believe that being coachable means you are willing to develop the version of yourself that is most likely to succeed. You are willing to develop the version of yourself that is most likely to succeed. Maybe parentheses while being coached in this pursuit, after this goal. Developing the version of yourself that is most likely to succeed. That also means you're not there. Nobody asks for coaching if they've already achieved their goal. Nobody asks for coaching if they think they're at the finish line. Nobody asks for coaching if they think they've achieved everything they want to achieve. You're asking for help for a reason. Whatever version of coaching you're after, I assume you're getting coached from an expert. Certainly if you come to Feel Strong, you are. If we take you on for a client, we would not take you on unless we were sure we could help. You need to develop the version of yourself that is most likely to succeed here. There's some aspects that will make you very likely to succeed. This is what it means to be coachable. You need to be open to having your beliefs broken, especially with people who have a lot of exercise fitness experience. They come in with a ton of beliefs, a ton of things they know, a ton of habits, a ton of routines, things that they know work for them, things that they think they're good at, things that they think they're not good at, things that they think are very valuable, things that they believe to not be valuable at all. Inevitably, we are going to have to change some of that. It is required that you have a malleable mindset and are open to having beliefs broken. And it is not because we're better than everyone else. It is not because anything necessarily that you're coming in with is wrong or incorrect. But we just don't have the right fit for this situation, so we're going to have to change some things. If you have always trained to failure and have overwhelmingly seen amazing results, and you come to us because you're having some knee pain, but you really want to get back to moving big weight and being strong, there's a really good chance we're not going to let you go to failure for a long time. And we're going to put really strict limits on your effort and really strict limits on how many reps you have to have left in the tank when you finish a set. And that may be deeply unsatisfying, and that may be the kind of thing that challenges your belief. But I know when I go to failure, I get stronger. I know when I go to failure that I get bigger. I know when I go to failure, I feel like I really worked out and it's really satisfying. And I get that dopamine spike, which is 50% of the reason I'm in the gym. Why are you keeping this from me? And we'll explain it. But if you're not open to having that belief broken, that going to failure is the only way to succeed in training, you're going to have a really hard time. Same thing goes with movement selection. It is perfectly normal, especially if people have trained in one modality for a while. If we ask different things of them that don't appear or may go against that modality, it can be really hard. If you don't let a CrossFitter kip for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, inevitably, you're going to have a discussion about it. But I can do 30 pull-ups. You can do 30 kipping pull-ups. And this is not a kipping pull-ups or not pull-up discussion. I think of them as two completely separate movements. I truly wish CrossFit had called it something else because it is such a different movement, uses different things, it's for a different purpose. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. Kipping pull-ups absolutely have their part and have their place and are fine in the right context. You can't do 30 pull-ups. Very few people can do 30 pull-ups. I know people who are chasing 30 pull-ups, but 30 pull-ups is hard. We're going to work on some shoulder girdle strength and some tempo and some control and get you a bunch of strict pull-ups. That's going to really help your kipping pull-ups. We're not keeping you from it. We're using a different movement selection to move you toward your goal. But it's taking something away from someone that they don't like having taken away. Of course, explaining yourself. But if you're not open as a client to having that belief broken, it's going to be really hard. Whatever coach you're working with, I strongly suggest you come in with as open a mindset, as malleable a mindset as you're capable of. Because if you do that, you are going to learn things. You are going to add to your toolbox. You are going to add to your cohort of experiences that are going to serve you going forward. The more open you can be to other kinds of coaching and other kinds of progress, the better it will make you moving forward. So open to having beliefs broken. Certainly related to this, you need to be willing to learn from others' experience. Assume that the person coaching you knows things you don't know. Assume the person coaching you has worked with people that you haven't run into, that you haven't experienced, that you don't understand. They know things you don't know. That's why you're there. If you knew exactly how to do it and were capable of executing this program on your own, you wouldn't be there in the first place. And I say this as someone who has a coach. And my coach knows things I don't know. And my coach understands things I don't know. And my coach sees my progress in a different way than I see my progress. And that's really good. It's really important. I think it's almost required. Be willing to learn from others' experience. A huge part of that is checking your ego at the door. You have to check your ego. If you come in with all of your progress and all of your accomplishments and all of the things that you've done and push that in front of you, somehow justifying or even implying that you should be treated differently or be special, or somehow the way that this coach works shouldn't apply to you, you're going to have a really hard time and you're not going to see the results that you want. We have seen too many times, occasionally with clients of ours, mostly talking to other coaches who have run into this, and other coaches who have done this, who have fallen into this trap themselves as clients, of coming in and basically saying, hey, I'm really advanced. I know a lot. I've done all these things. I have these strength numbers. I have these endurance numbers. Here's what I've done in different sports. I know a lot. I'm really advanced. I don't need to start with your movement assessment and your little onboarding program. Just jump me ahead to the good stuff. Jump me ahead to the really valuable stuff. That's where I belong. I don't belong at this beginning section. I'm too good. I'm too special. I'm too experienced. I know too much. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. Check your ego at the door. Be open to the experience and see what it's like. Let yourself be part of this thing. Try really hard. Ask good questions, but be open to the process and check your ego at the door. What point are we at? Point three? I think point three. Point three, actively seek feedback. You have to ask questions. Ask. Certainly, another side to letting yourself be open to the process, essentially doing what you're told, check your ego at the door. If you don't understand something, you have to ask. If you don't get something, you have to ask. Because not having that information, one, is a little insidious. It's going to drive this little seed into your brain that something about this is wrong or dumb or stupid, or your coach doesn't get you, or your coach doesn't understand what you really want. Why would I do this movement? Ask the question. And if the coach can't answer the question, then maybe you're right. Maybe you're in the wrong place. But I bet there's a really good reason. Hey, coach, why am I doing these walks on the outside of my feet? Why am I doing supinated barefoot walks? I came to you with a lower back problem. Turns out there's a really good reason to do those, depending on what your assessment shows and things like that, in the right context. But if you don't know, that would be potentially confusing. Also, and especially if you have some exercise experience, if you have a couple years of training under your belt, asking questions and getting some more context and getting some more color around why you're doing what you're doing will literally make it work better. If you understand why you're doing a movement, if you understand the intent behind movement selection, program design, things like that, it literally works better. Because human brains are amazing. So ask questions. It will also help your coach, if they're good, and I'm assuming they are, because you're smart. Only smart people listen to this show. You hired a good coach. When you ask good questions, it lets the coach know more about how you like to be communicated with. I absolutely have clients who don't want to know. Tell me what to do. I will execute it perfectly. I will do the thing. I believe in you. I trust you. Here, please take as much of this off my plate as you can. I'm very busy. I'm very stressed. Justin, I trust you. Just do it. I don't need the explanation. I have other clients who will do a movement and come back with a page of notes. Okay, I don't understand, but I felt this. I felt this. It seemed like this. I'm guessing we're doing this because of ABC, but I would love to know more. Cool. That person's going to get an explanation. They're probably going to get a video message or some references or things like that. Neither one of those people are wrong, because the first client I described doesn't have questions. They're not curious. They don't want to know. They can still succeed that way. The person who asks questions and seeks feedback is going to do a great job. Seeking feedback is part of asking questions, but I think it's an important part. Everyone, I have done this many times as a client, and I've experienced it as a coach, has had a client do a movement. Maybe they upload a video, and you look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's great. It's perfect. It's exactly how it's supposed to look. Look over the rest of the workout. Yep. Exactly what I thought. Hey, great work today. Really strong. Nice job. Thumbs up emoji. And that client is sitting at home being like, yeah, but that thing my left elbow did on rep 6, like, was that right or was that wrong? It didn't jump out to me. And if you didn't ask, I might have missed it. I might have missed it. It's not because I didn't watch it. It's not because I don't care, but it might be a thing that doesn't light up on my radar, but felt really interesting to you. So ask that question. Hey, coach, on those kettlebell push presses, my left elbow does something on like rep 5, rep 6, and it felt completely different on my shoulder to the degree of being a little worrisome. Will you let me know if that looks like anything? Now I'm really going to analyze that. Because again, especially remotely, I'm not in the room. I can't walk around you. I can't listen to you. I can't really get close and see your facial expressions and see your body language before and after lifting and things like that. So point it out. Hey, I would like feedback on this, please. It's a perfectly reasonable thing to ask, and good coaches will give it to you. Point 4. I don't know. I've lost track of my numbers. Try to lead with positivity. Remember that the coach wants the best for you. You've hired someone who wants you to succeed. They desperately want you to succeed. Mediocre coaches want you to succeed. Great coaches want you to succeed. Elite coaches want you to succeed. Anyone who's doing this wants you to succeed. If for no other reason, then you not succeeding is really bad for business. At the most base, gross level, if a coach has clients who are routinely not succeeding, their reviews aren't going to be good, their referrals aren't going to exist, and they're going to go out of business pretty quickly, or they're going to get caught in a spiral of, you know, lowering prices / making promises they can't live up to, and they're not going to be around very long. Your coach wants you to succeed, so lead with positivity. That's a hard thing to do, especially in a long process. If you're working with a coach for 9 months, 12 months working on something, leading with positivity can be hard. But as much as possible, approaching this workout, when you look at something, you read something, you say, oh, God, I'm doing a lot of volume, or oh, I'm doing that movement that I hate again, or that movement that makes me feel silly again, or that piece of equipment I always have to wait for at the gym, and it's really annoying. Remember, the coach wants the best for you. It's okay to ask, hey, this piece of equipment is hard to get to. Is there another movement we could do that would be as effective as this? Is there something else we can put here? Hey, I feel really silly when I do this. Is there something else that would be as effective here? A perfectly fair question. But if the answer is, I know it's weird, I know it's silly, genuinely, I believe this movement is really important for you to do, approach it with as much positivity as you could muster, because you and the coach both want you to succeed. Number five, beware of excuses. It is easy to come up with excuses, and as a coach, it is easy to accept excuses. So as a client, right, this is me suggesting to clients, prospective clients, whether you're working with Feel Strong or anyone else, this is how to be coachable. I want you to ask to be held to account. Why haven't you succeeded in the past? What have the roadblocks been? When a program or a gym or a template or a coaching relationship or a workout routine hasn't worked for you in the past, why has that been? Many times this has to do with consistency. Many times this has to do with not knowing the right thing to do. Many times this has to do with not knowing how things are supposed to feel and being worried about getting hurt. Or the other side, not knowing how hard you're supposed to push and feeling like you're not making any progress. Beware of all these excuses. If any of those are true for you, I would up front, if your coach doesn't ask you, and coaches, you should ask about this stuff. But if your coach doesn't ask, hey, coach, I think it's important you know that I've tried a bunch of programs in the past, and one of my problems is consistency. Usually the first 2-3 weeks are really solid, and then I have a hard time showing up. And because I put everyone else before me, my job, my family, my kids, my community, my house, all of these responsibilities I have, and I really feel the need to show up for all of those more than me. I can't not show up for all those reasons. And so this thing that I know I need for me gets the back burner, and I stop doing it. It would really, really help me if you as a coach can hold me to account for that kind of stuff. I can almost promise that we're going to go off track, that I'm going to miss some days, that other things are going to get in the way. And I think I'm going to need to ask you to hold me account and hold me responsible for those things. Ask for that. Don't hope for it. Do not sit there quietly thinking like, well, this coach presents this way on social media and feels this way. And, you know, well, he's a big dude with tattoos and he wears mirrored glasses all the time. So he's definitely going to not let me shirk my responsibilities, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And coaches, keep a lookout. Listen really closely for the approach of excuses. Because real life happens, right? If I get a message, hey, I only slept 2.5 hours last night, my kid is sick, I was up and down all night, finally got to bed, you know, and seemed like we were really sleeping at 4:30 in the morning, I elected not to get up at 6 to work out, and to take the extra sleep until 7:30. My response would be, good job, great decision, I hope you find time for a nap today. We'll find time for this session either later this week or we'll move it to next week. No harm, no foul. You did the right thing. If that starts happening kind of every week and then more than once a week, it's time for a meeting and it's time to reassess. What can we change? What else do we have to do? Because this isn't working. And it may be, are there things we can change about your life and your schedule and your sleep and things like that? It may be, we need to change this program. This program is no longer matching your life, and so we need to change it. It no longer fits you. But if you are someone who is consistently coming up with amazing, completely understandable, almost impossible to argue with excuses, but it's happening a lot, I suggest you ask to be held to account. And I know that's not an easy thing to do, and I'm not even saying that your excuses aren't real. Very much the opposite. I think they are real. A good coach can help you with all of that. You can succeed. You are ready. 100%. Certainly part of that is being willing to take responsibility for your actions. and recognizing that that life is likely not something happening to you, but you are part of it. Again, this isn't a criticism. It neither makes you good nor bad. It just makes you a human being. But leaning on that coaching relationship as not only someone who has the technical knowledge to give you excellent movements, but has the professional capability to help you find your way forward, I think is invaluable. It can often be one of the most valuable parts of a coaching relationship. Take advantage of it. Beware of excuses and ask to be held to account. The last part, I mean, we could go on and on, but the last part I think of as being coachable, and this is going to sound obvious, maybe all of these have sounded obvious, I don't know. You need to willingly implement coach feedback. If your coach asks you to make a correction, gives you a cue, or tells you to change something, whether that's how you're loading a movement, how you're performing it, the time you're doing it in, the way you're approaching it, the equipment you're using, how we're changing your schedule, how we're tracking your sleep, how we're tracking your nutrition, your diet, your water, whatever it is, you need to be ready to implement that. If you come into a program and are totally excited and you trust this coach and you get the program and you're like, wow, this is an awesome program. I'm so excited. And you start doing it and your coach starts giving you some corrections and you don't take those corrections, why would you hire a coach in the first place? Just buy some book on whatever exercise modality you want. There's probably some sample workouts in there. Do those. Just do those. If you're not going to take the corrections, if you're not going to take the coaching part of the coaching relationship, don't work with a coach. And I feel like I need to be clear here. This is not sour grapes. I was not like recently burned by a client or something like that. We've had very few times that this has ever happened. I think many years ago, we even did this with some coaches, thinking we knew too much or we knew a lot. Or, yeah, oh, he keeps telling me to squat with this way, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going to squat this way. Then why did you hire a coach? Don't do it. You need to willingly implement coach feedback. You bought into the program, buy into the program. See what it's like. Even if it's hard, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it challenges some of your beliefs. Are we taking gluten out of your diet for 2 weeks? So take gluten out of your diet for 2 weeks. If you strongly disagree with that, you should bring it up. You should have the discussion. You should walk through the whys of it. But if at the end of that discussion, your coach says, I think this is really important. I think this is the way forward. My professional suggestion is you take gluten out of your diet for 2 weeks and you don't do it, you should just quit. You should just stop. If your coach tells you you need to work on your sleep hygiene, or your coach tells you you need to do single leg work, or your coach tells you you need to do all dumbbell work and no barbell work, and you don't implement that feedback and you just keep doing the other thing, then you should quit the program. You should tell the coach, I don't think this is for me. I'm obviously not willing to make the changes you're asking for. And if that's true, then I shouldn't be doing your program. I think we should end this relationship. And coaches, if your clients are not implementing your feedback, if you are consistently, and this has happened, and it's one of the most frustrating things for a coach to do, because remember, your coach wants the best for you. Your coach desperately wants for you to succeed. They're not making these corrections to hear themselves talk or write or just to make, you know, to show up as a coach. They're doing it because they want you to succeed. And if you are coaching a client and they aren't taking the coaching, it's incredibly frustrating because they're not going to be as successful and they're not going to move forward in the way you want them to. And then eventually they're going to end up frustrated and they're going to say, hey, I'm not making any progress. You must not be a very good coach. And the coach can just throw their hands up and in at least inside, they're saying, you didn't do any of the things I asked you to do. Of course you didn't succeed. But if they didn't do what I'm suggesting and early on highlight that the client isn't taking their suggestions, they aren't taking their feedback, they aren't making the corrections and adjustments that the coach is suggesting, if you let that go for 3 months and the client takes none of the feedback, makes none of the suggestions, and you don't highlight it, then shame on you, coach. Yes, they are a uncoachable client. If your client is uncoachable, they probably shouldn't be your client. And if you as a client believe yourself to be uncoachable, you shouldn't have a coach. Don't do it. You're not going to be happy. You're going to end up frustrated and it's not going to work. Being coachable is the thing that will let you succeed. Remember those 3 points I mentioned early on? Motivated, committed, coachable. The first two are easier than the third. You need to be coachable. Let's briefly review what it means to be coachable. To be coachable, you need to be open to developing the version of yourself most likely to succeed. You need to be open to having beliefs broken. That is, having a malleable mindset. You need to be willing to learn from others' experience, which involves checking your ego at the door. You need to actively seek feedback. Ask questions. Ask for appraisal. Whatever it is that you're wondering about, whatever it is you're hoping that your coach points out, ask for that. Lead with positivity. Remember, you and your coach both want the best for you. Your coach desperately wants for you to succeed. Beware of excuses. Ask to be held to account, especially if you have some insight as to why things haven't worked in the past, and you have to willingly implement coach feedback. If you do these things, you will succeed. Whatever your goal is, whatever your issues are you're after, whatever pain you're currently experiencing, whatever struggle you're having, whatever thing it is you want to accomplish, thing or things, if you are coachable and find a coach who can do those things, you will succeed. If you are not coachable, the best coach with the best program who is ideally suited for you will still fail. It's not always nice, but it's true. Being coachable is one of the most valuable qualities that someone can develop. It is incredibly important, and I strongly suggest you go back, whatever, 2 minutes to those points I just said, write them down, and see how you feel about yourself. How good am I at these points? Some of them you're probably very good at. I bet some of them you're less good at. What could you do to make adjustments and show up better so you can show up more coachable, whether or not you currently have a coach? You can improve the situation you're in right now by improving these qualities and intentionally changing how you show up and approach these things. Being coachable will lead to your success. I'm Justin McClintock. Feel strong. Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out.